Good Tuesday evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies Network. This is our presentation of the Tuesday night flight. It is I, the Midnight Rider, and he is the big guy, KG. And we are here to bring you your sports entertainment for this Tuesday night. Big guy, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. We here. Ready to rock this thing. Hey, we got an early one. Thomas is in this thing. What's going on, Thomas? How you feeling this evening? Midnight Rider, how you feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to go. Was Thomas the one that was trying to get on me about having Shedeur Sanders number two on my list? Or was that Ken?
That was Keith.
Yeah, but I was trying to see who was.
That was old. So that was that was early on.
Yeah, that was it was 9/19/23. So what I used to do was at work, I would jot them down sometimes just to kind of play around with the order, see how I wanted to end up. But I gotta shoot you this thing from Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus has the top five graded college QBs. At 93.3 was Jaden Daniels. At 90.9 was Bo Nix. At 90.3 was Michael Penix Jr. I think Drake May was fifth. I can't remember who was fourth. But I'll send that tweet to you.
And Thomas says, all is great, fellas. Glad we got Paddle Boat Ron out of here.
Here we go.
Well, two things before we get started, because we got a lot to cover tonight, and that's one of the things we got to cover as well as some other things. First and foremost, I got to give a big shout out. Don't look all shy now. I got to give a big shout out to my new 20-year-old son. 20 years, where has it gone? This day back in 2004, the kid came into the world fighting, kicking and screaming. And he brought some snow with him, you know. It snowed the morning he was born. Special kid because of that. Each one of my kids, something special happened.
Special because he's a Capricorn. God's gift to the world. Capricorns, I keep telling people, we end the year and we start the year. And plus, Jesus is one of us.
That's true.
And that's Jesus true. Is one of us. So you can't go wrong there.
That's subject. That's all I'm gonna say is that's subject.
When do we celebrate it? I don't care when it actually is. When do we celebrate it? Don't be trying to get your Times Roman calendar out and try to nah.
I'll say this, and I'll be quite honest. One of the greatest accomplishments I have in life is becoming a dad. Every day that I'm able to be there, it's a new day, a new learning experience. And Dario didn't make it 100% easy because, I mean, you know, my man didn't, he had a motor that didn't quit. So, you know, when I'm ready to stop wrestling, and we're going to keep going. He want to do Iron Man matches. So here's the 20 years of Iron Man matches to you, Dario. Happy birthday, good sir. 20 years. Ironic, crazy fact, he was the last baby that my grandmother held.
Wow.
So I always say, you know, that's special because she prayed for you and she was able to hold you. So it's always special. Secondly, BJ's daughter, my niece Bria, today is her birthday as well. So January is just like so many birthdays. It's like all packed in a month. But Bria, let me see what Bria is. What, 17 today? Her and Dario 3 years apart? Yeah. Same day, 3 years apart. I'll never forget the phone call. I was at my sister's house when BJ called me and told me she had been born.
That's what's up, man.
And it's crazy because he called me when she was born. When I found out Dario's mom was pregnant with him, I called BJ. Couldn't get BJ. I got Paul because BJ had went down to North Carolina to see Delonte while Delonte was in college. So I got pole. And they were the first ones I told. After my grandmother, they were the first ones I told. So, and I felt honored that I was one of the first that BJ told that, you know, firstborn daughter was here. So happy birthday, Bria. Happy birthday, Dario. Man, we're going to be doing this all week. So V. Williams says, stop the rain. Smile. Yeah, it's going to stop soon. But it's if you're on the road listening to us right now on this Tuesday night, please get home safe. Thomas said, none of us sons have made it easy on fathers and moms. That's true. That is absolutely true. I've asked my mom plenty of times, how many times did I make you say, damn it, boy?
Nah, Josh did something this weekend. I looked at him. He was like, what? I was like, you know what? Now I know why my dad made that face with me. Like, I know exactly what he was thinking in that moment.
Yep.
I was like, yeah.
Second order of business. Down the bottom of the screen, scrolling, if you are watching live, www.buyfortmose.com. Get you a tasty beverage, a rye, a bourbon, a whiskey, anything you like to sip. Holidays are over, so you may need something for when company comes over. As long as you got something on your shelf that's not Paul Masson, we're good. Because if I walk in your house and you got Paul Masson on your shelf, I'm turning around and walking back out because you like to fight.
You got to... So, you know we're audio medium. So for the people that aren't watching the show, you gotta give them the full address.
Well, I am. I'm getting that. But if I walk into your house and you got Fort Mose bourbon, whiskey, rye on it, I know you like to party. I know you like to sit down and sip and have a good time. So visit www.buyfortmose.com/discount/maniacs, which is our discount code. You get $10 off if you buy $130 order. You get free shipping. So
where's the kid at? Because he got to settle something.
Which one?
You pick.
Which one of y'all? Come on, somebody move.
It's an audio question.
It's an audio question. Get on the screen. Which one is going to be?
You don't have to get on the screen. I just need an answer.
Okay, go.
Actually, I do probably need them to look on the screen to see the slashes, because I need to know which one this is. So when your dad reads the thing, he says /. When I read the code, I say /. Is that a /, or is that a /?
I said that's a /.
Okay. Where the other one at? I like them better anyway.
All right. Getting into it. Week 18 wrapped up. Let's go over that real quick. Where's my scores at? Here we go. Titans Jaguars. We talked about this game off break, and we talked about the Jaguars fucking up the church's money. Duval Paul has every reason to be upset because the Titans win 28-20, and they kept touting this as Derrick Henry's last game because apparently he's been released.
Oh, they're changing the guard in Tennessee. They're going to try to make this more electric. I mean, I don't want to kill the message that's coming later on, but today's news shows you that there's a new sheriff in town. And Amy Adams Shrunk wants a new style of football to be played in Tennessee. Mm. She doesn't want this. So I can't wait for this offseason. It's going to be some teams reshaping themselves, including the Washington Commanders. So, I can't wait. I'm Bart Scott. Can't wait.
Well, with this game, Titans finished 6-11. Jaguars finished 9-8. Neither team made the playoffs. Trevor Lawrence, 29-43, 280, two tutties, two picks. Tannehill, 17-26, 168, two touchdowns and a pick. ATN, 16 carries, 57 yards. Derrick Henry in his final game in a Titan uniform, 19 carries, 153 and a touchdown. Ridley had six catches, 106 and a touchdown. And DeAndre Hopkins, 7 catches, 46 yards. Do you think Doug Peterson is on a short list with the cons? With this loss, no, you know, you were.
He's not on a short division lead. On the short list because he's already had to move off of both his coordinators. So I know his DC they parted ways with the DC. I haven't seen confirmation on the offensive coordinator being let go as well, but I've heard in some circles that both coordinators are gone from Jacksonville. So if that's the case, this is Doug's last shot at making this a winner and keeping his job next year or after next season. Because you can't change nothing else. You got nobody else to take the blame or blame for what's going on.
Agreed. This game was at 41.5. The over-under was 41.5. Jags were 3.5-point favorites. BJ took the Titans in the under. Myself and the Midnight Rider took the Jags in the under. We lost on that, so.
Yeah. Boo. Well, BJ was right. I mean, he said it, that he had that feeling that this would be the type of game that the Titans will win. Something a little meaningless. And Tannehill didn't Tannehill, but Derrick Henry gave you shades of the old Derrick Henry with the 170. So that's how that played out. But that 280 for Trevor Lawrence, that was one of the ugliest 280s I've ever seen. It looked difficult. It was difficult. So, that 280, oh boy, that wasn't pretty. And I think just watching that performance, I mean, if your top receiver has 7 catches and 59 yards, talking about the Tennessee Titans, I think the owner and your top receiver is, what, 35, 36 years old? And DeAndre Hopkins, he's probably not that old, but in receiver years, that's how old he turns out to be. I mean, I think that becomes the problem itself, is you don't have enough explosiveness to entertain. And I think she wants to be entertained a little bit more than just watching that team pound the football in somebody's face and drive down the field 15 plays, 86 yards, and 10 minutes taking off the clock.
Two things. That sounds more like, if you've ever seen Any Given Sunday, they wanted to run the ball, revamp the running game, and the owner wants the passes. That's what they want. High-scoring football. That's what it sounds like. Second thing, what was my second thing? I had something else. I don't know what I had. But anyway, Thomas says, can't wait to see the new look in Washington, D.C. this offseason. Neither can I. The boss, BJ, chimes in and says 31 for D-Hop.
Yeah, 36 in wide receiver years.
Oh, my second thing. You make it seem, you know what, I can't even go there because they were anomalies. Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, they were anomalies. They played a long time, and they were productive all the way up until the end.
Okay. So,
anomaly, I got to take that off the table. That's not everybody.
No. I'll address it because you know me. I'm not – when it comes to certain players, if your returns are what they are, he can't be your number one. That's what that means. When D-Hop gives you 7 and 59 and he's your number one receiver, there's a problem there in that organization. They struck out with the kid Burks from Arkansas. He was the perfect replacement for A.J. Brown in theory. The problem is he couldn't stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So the trade, in theory, it worked. It was possibly the right move because you didn't want to invest in receiver at the time because you knew you had to play Simmons. So it made sense to me from a cap standpoint why you would move off of A.J. Brown. But sometimes when you take that shot, it don't work.
See, now, we were talking off air about being facetious. Now, the boss BJ then chimed in, talking about if the Jags had Al Toon Sunday, boy. No Al Toon slander will be tolerated. He up in this dancery. So,
all I'm going to say is, championship.
Moving right along. The Paul Brown Bowl. the Browns versus the Bengals. The over-under was 37.5. Bengals was 7.5-point favorites. Bengals win 31-14. They cover. What was the over-under? Over-under was over. BJ had the bang. We all had the Bengals. BJ had the under. I had the under. Midnight Rider, the only one to hit on this, and had the over. 31-14. Driscoll, 13-26. 166, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Browning, 18-24. 156, three touchdowns and an interception. Strong, 14 carries, 65 yards. Mixon, 14 carries, 111 and a touchdown. Bell, four receptions, 68 yards and two touchdowns. Jones, three catches, 49 yards. Takeaways from this game, other than each team finished above 500. Everybody in the AFC North for the first time in history, the whole division finished above 500. The Browns are headed to the playoffs, so they really didn't have anything to play for. But still, any thoughts on this game?
The second you guys told me that Jeff Driscoll was playing, I was mad that I wasn't in Maryland because I would have taken all my shekels. I'd have put the Conte family fortune on the line that the Bengals were going to win this because that's just how much I dislike Jeff Driscoll ever since he was at Florida, since he was at Florida Atlantic. Hey, BJ, if you're in still listening, give me the school that Pierre Strong went to. I thought he went to North Dakota State, but I think I'm wrong. I think it's Colorado State, and that could be wrong. But I just want to – that just popped in my head. Back to the game. Joe Mixon, JoJo, or Joni Evans by YouTube, but a real – the name we call is JoJo. She said Mixon two TDs in their first two drives. She got her Mixon and the two TDs. So, you know, that's just another one of our followers just being on point. And this game really, I mean, outside of that, I think the game was just, it was a formality. And now you just want to see what the Browns do. Can the Browns give us the matchup of the Browns versus the Ravens? I didn't get my copy of the script this week, so I don't know how that's going to play out. But we'll see.
I'll say this. We all had the Bengals winning because we knew the Browns weren't going to play anybody. This just was a means to an end. The boss BJ chimed in, South Dakota State.
Ah, okay. I knew it was in that area.
So, this is just a means to an end. This is one of them playing out the string. When Joe Burrow comes back next year, hate to say it, but I kind of sort of feel like the window for the Bengals is closing to get back to the Super Bowl. They can't stay healthy.
Well, so here's – see, I disagree because the wide receiver position is so much better and makes an impact right away as long as you pick the right guy. So you'll lose T. Higgins to free agency. You'll still have Chase – you'll have Boyd, depending on where you pick and depending on what your other needs are, you either draft a receiver in the first or second round to get your kid to make an impact, and then you go from there. You add another receiver talent. I would add a back if I'm them. It looks like you got a decent backup in Jake Browning where he can, in the short term, provide offense for you. So I think you have some things in place. I think you should show up some stuff. I don't know what their corner situation is, probably something they got to fix too. So, yeah. I think Bengals are in the better position of some of the other contenders when we come to this because some money's going to be coming off of their cap. So, I just think this is the point where you replace it with young talent and figure out because if you can replace it with the right young talent, you extend that window.
Okay. Next game we covered locally. We'll get to the aftermath of that in a couple segments down the line. But the Dallas Cowboys, 38, the Washington Commanders, 10. Commanders finish 4-13, number two pick overall. Cowboys going to the playoffs strong, 12-5. Dak Prescott, 31-36, 279, and four touchdowns and a pick. Sam Howell, 19 of 27, 153, a touchdown and two interceptions. Tony Pollard, 17 carries, 70 yards, and a touchdown. He sniffed the end zone correctly this time. Brian Robinson, 9 carries, 25 yards. CeeDee Lamb, 13 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Terry McLaurin went over 1,000 yards for the full season in a row, 6 catches, 56 yards. The over-under on this one was 46.5. Cowboys, 13.5 point favorites. Midnight Rider took the under, and the Cowboys, myself, and the boss BJ took the over. So we won that one outright all the way.
Hold on, hold on. I took the under in that game? I could have swore I thought the Cowboys had the over by themselves. That's interesting. Hey, maybe I said something. Maybe I thought one thing and I said something else. You know how the world is when you're over 47 years on this earth and 345. Actually, no, I'm sorry. 55 days around this earth. Let's skip the age thing. Let's talk about the Cowboys and the Commanders real quick. Cowboys 38, Commanders 10. It looked like the Cowboys were out there playing a scrimmage. They got whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. I think CeeDee Lamb had something like 13 catches. And in those 13 catches, he had 13 targets as well. I think the tight end, he had 9 catches or 8 catches. And with his catches, he had 8 targets as well. So it was like there was no incompletions on their plays. The one person that stood out to me in this ball game for Washington was Emmanuel Forbes. Emmanuel Forbes, I don't know who he needs to call. I don't know if he needs to call Zion Williamson. I don't know if he needs to call John Hot Plate Williams, but he needs somebody to put some weight on his body because I watched him try to make 2 tackles and the first one, I think the tight end for Dallas hurdled him. And if you saw the form, like the way he tried to tackle that tight end, his eyes were on the ground, his back was hunched, and it like he wanted no parts of trying to make a tackle. The second one was the same tight end was going up the sideline, and he kind of slid past him, like trying to grab at his ankle. It's 2 of the worst tackling attempts I've ever seen in my life. And I think now I can appropriately be mad that they didn't go after Gonzalez like I wanted them to with that pick. I'm not a revisionist person, but I said I had some thoughts and some doubts about it. But if that's what they want, I'm gonna be cool with it. I'm not gonna overreact. But it looks like I should have overreacted on draft day like I wanted to, because Forbes has shown no redeeming qualities to this point. He does get his hands on the football, but he doesn't make the catch. So I don't know if that's a strength thing. I don't know if that's what that is. And that's where the problem lies with this organization and the way they've been drafting. And we'll get to that later on. KG, how much do you have of me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I'm right here with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Here's my thing. We took the L in this game, which was known. I'm going to start with the Cowboys first. And Xavier says the Cowboys can go to the playoffs and fall in the second round. Well. I'll say this. This is a means to an end. The Cowboy fans are jumping around. Yeah, we beat y'all ass. We did this. We did that. Hey, you were supposed to win this game. This is a game you were supposed to win. Do not let your work that you put in over this season to go 12-5 dissipate. Do not let it dissipate what you've already accomplished. Because just because you're sitting this high, you're NFC East champions, if you look down, you can see how far you'll be able to fall. Now, to Washington, like I said, means to an end. Surprising developments that it lasted until Monday morning. But, hey, it's cool. It's okay, but it's a new day. The sun's shining, the birds are chirping, even though it's raining outside. It's a new day. We got over 90 million in free agency money.
So let me jump in hot second, and then use all you. So I just heard it was 75, and that might be because of a cap adjustment, because certain contracts are still going to be on the books, and that could go back to 90 if you move like John Allen and somebody else like that. So just real quick, I heard 75 lately. That's the number I've been hearing, and that might just because certain contracts are ballooning as we go into this.
Okay. It seemed like whenever we get close to having a whole bunch of money, that's when stuff goes haywire. As far as Washington goes, it's a new day, new dawn, new beginning, new era. I hear people complaining about the hires to help with the coaching search and the GM search. Oh, why are we hiring them? Shut up. Trust the process. Thomas says, Q Martin might be a player for us if Cam Curl leaves in free agency. And he also says, I feel like Ryder on this issue.
I do think Martin can be something, but I would love to see that be Martin and Curl. Curl's biggest fan, Jeremy Reeves, made a great point. Cam Curl has never just played safety in the ball game. He's played safety, he's played nickel, he's played dime, he's played ML, he's played middle linebacker. He's played some outside corner. He's done a little bit of everything. And for a person to be able to do all of that, and most of the time to be assignment right and assignment solid, that's a tremendous gift for that kid. And you only imagine if that kid only was in a better defense or had better playmakers around him, what kind of impact he could have in the ball game. Because my one thing is he doesn't make the impact play in terms of interceptions and fumbles. But when you're doing so many things, maybe you don't have the time to concentrate on those things. So I would love to see him have a more steady role in the defense and have better players around him so he can focus on certain things.
I agree with you 100%. 100% wholeheartedly, and so does Thomas. Hope, absolutely. Absolutely, positively. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but we used to it around here. You know, just got to take the wrench and bang the board a little bit. We'll get to the other part of this in a second. Let's get through these games. Next game was Rams Niners. Rams win 21-20.
Yep.
Shoot, let me get my stats here. I'm coming back, so I got to get my stats. Rams Niners. What was that? 40.5 was the over under. They got the under. Niners were 4-point favorites.
You said 40.5.
Yeah.
That's 41, bro. So we got over.
We got over. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We got the over. We all picked the under. That's what I was looking at. We all picked the under.
I can see. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. We picked the under, but it was the over. Both teams going to the playoffs. This is a meaningless game. Carson Wentz, 17-24, 163, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Sam Darnold, 16-26, 189 and a touchdown. Wentz led the Rams in rushing, 17 carries, 56 yards and a touchdown. Mitchell, 14 carries, 52 yards and a touchdown. Hopkins, B. Hopkins, that would be Bryson Hopkins, 2 catches, 47 yards, and Conley, 3 receptions, 69 yards. I got nothing in this game. What you got?
There's a clip that I sent you guys today or yesterday, last night, from the St. Louis War Room. And it talks about Puka Nacua and how Sean McVay was like, we got to get this kid. This kid fits what we do. He's everything we want. Boom, 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 boom. And I thought, after I saw that clip and I watched that game and saw the kid break the rookie reception record, the rookie yards record, and just seeing that clip, it's like, that's what I want. I want to be able, as a Commanders fan, to look at a player, identify him, and say we should be able to do this with him, that with him. And I don't even know the playbook. And I don't want to lie and say I do know the playbook, but I know what fits us. And we'll get to this later on, but that clip to me embodied everything that I wanted from this offseason. And when but it says everything about the Rams and who Sean McVay is. McVay is such a genius when it comes to seeing his offense on so many levels that he know a guy like Kyren Williams is perfect for his offense. He knows a guy like Puka Nacua is perfect, and he can get everything he wants out of it. You know, you got to think about it. He had, at one point, they had Brandon Cooks go for 1,000 yards, and then they had Odell Beckham have one of his best years coming off of his situation. So it's not an issue of him not having talent because he always knows how to get the best out of his talent. So that's what I took from Sunday, was this is just McVay doing McVay things. That's about all I got on this.
And we'll move on to game of the week. Like I said, I got nothing. I'm listening to you on this one. I got nothing. This right here, this is game of the week. This was the one that the boss BJ lost sleep on because he stayed up and watched this. Dolphins versus Bills. Bills win 21-14, win the AFC East. If I didn't say it earlier, the Cowboys won the NFC East. Congratulations to the Cowboys and the Bills for winning your division. Last day, I mean, it's always stressful, but hey, you can sprint into the playoffs instead of limping. 48.5 was the over-under. Bills was favored by 3. They covered. All of us took the Bills and the over, but should have took the under. This game had me on pins and freaking needles, I will say. I was up, and I was just like, okay, please. Buffalo do something. Josh Allen, 30 of 38, 359, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. Tua Tagovailoa, 17 of 27, 173, a touchdown, and 2 INTs. Last INT was the game ceiling. Allen, 15 carries, 67 yards. A-Chain, 10 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown. Shakir, 6 catches, 105. Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 82 yards, 1 touchdown. Question that I have for you about Tua Tagovailoa.
It's Buffalo. It's Buffalo.
His Buffalo?
It's Buffalo.
What you mean?
So if I – go ahead, finish your question, and then I'll see if I change my answer.
Do you see – what everybody's talking about, and I heard them say it on the broadcast. I think I heard Chris Collinsworth say it, and they were talking about him not being able to make the clutch throws when need be. It's like he doesn't have the arm strength to make the throws. And one thing about a quarterback, you can have a cannon of an arm. You can throw a ball a country mile, but if you can't put it on a dart on a deep out, you're not going to last in the league long. And it seems like when it's his deep outs don't always get there. He can get there, but it doesn't all. It's like when he needs to get there, he doesn't. Am I alone in that assumption? Is the arm strength a problem?
To a degree, yes. But I think Sunday, and the reason why I jumped in and said it's Buffalo is because I think there's some quarterbacks that certain teams – just give you problems. You know, like the Giants used to always give the Redskins problems back in the 80s, even the 90s. Like whenever Parcells went up against Gibbs, like Parcells dominated a lot of times. And it just felt like it was just one of those things, like whatever could go wrong either went wrong. But what I see with Tua is I think he has the arm strength. I think sometimes when you're throwing the fast guys, I mean, sometimes they just outrun the throw. You know, so that's why sometimes you got to get that out earlier than you want to and just let them run under it. Because when you have track guys, the second they open that throttle, if you ain't thrown it yet, you gotta put it 10 to 20 yards out in front of them sometimes to let them catch up.
As far as Buffalo goes, outside of the two interceptions, I think Buffalo played a really, really good game. It was a lot of things that they did right. If they can be healthy and stay healthy, I think Buffalo has a long playoff run in them. What I'm hoping for, and I got to find a sheet that I got the preseason predictions down on. I had to go back through the show, but I wrote them down. But I got to find the preseason predictions. I know Buffalo was one of my Super Bowl teams. And I don't know if I'm able to do it. If Buffalo makes it to Baltimore for the AFC Championship game, as God is my witness, I don't give a fuck how much weight I got to move. I'm going to have my brother in that stadium with his Buffalo jersey on, his train horn, talking about, you don't know what we talk about. We in here too. You know, with his whole, get him a fake Baltimore accent so he can fit in. Just to see Baltimore and Buffalo go.
And it's funny that there was a comparison to the Philadelphia Eagles to the 2012 Baltimore Ravens, the way they ended their season. In 2012, which means the Super Bowl was in 2013, Josh was playing soccer in Baltimore County. When I would go to the soccer games, the whole sideline was Raven. You thought it was a Ravens game. So when I saw it, of course, you know me, I'm going to show up with my burgundy and gold. So I stood, sleeves, threw my jersey on. I ain't care. But from that and saying that, I think you might have to move. You might have to call El Chapo if you're trying to get BJ into the playoff game. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I know the tickets. The tickets for the nosebleeds at the top of M&T Bank Stadium got to go for Elisa G.
Yeah, buddy. I mean,
and here's the thing about Baltimore. It's a great stadium. It's a great fan base. Like, that one thing about Baltimore Ravens fans, they are a great fan base to talk football with. But when you come into their house, they're going to look at you funny. And they're going to be quiet. And then it's going to be, you know, one of those things where it's a slow tide. And they just going, they sit there and they do this here. Just watch. They don't say nothing, just watch. And then once they get up, told you. That's all they do. They real quiet about their shit talking. But I love it. I love it. I love Baltimore fans. I do. Go ahead.
Baltimore in general annoys me, so.
Baltimore in general has great food, great landmarks, and it's a lot of good people.
If you say so.
The Boss BJ said the only team that can beat Buffalo is Buffalo. I agree with that. Matt joining in. He says big W for Buffalo now. Get a home game against Pittsburgh with no Watt. And I think
so early weather report for that game is like 25. I think it's 25 degrees. I think the wind chill is gonna make it feel like it's 5 degrees. Yeah, they're already talking about how bad the weather's gonna be for this ball game. This might be a game where James Cook and Josh Allen lead the team in carries, and I don't know how many forward passes will be attempted on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what I've heard early reports.
Don't worry about it, dummy. We be all right. Nah, I can't even get with it. I ain't even gonna fake with that, Slim. I had to cleanse myself by saying that. You know, look here, Joe. I ain't going out that way, Slim. So I gotta cleanse myself when I do that. You gotta baptize yourself back. You know, I mess with Baltimore a lot, and their slang is funny because we say Joe and the younger ones say Mo, and they say Yo, and I'm like, you know, it's funny. But you know, you find yourself saying it when you hang around a lot of people from Baltimore. You got to cleanse yourself. So you got to Joe and Slim yourself, and you lunching. All right. Now I'm back to being me. So, yeah. Thomas says, I don't do cold weather, so I'll be watching from the couch. LOL. Hey, man, that is one of the best games I've ever been to. It was cold. And that's when I went to the, matter of fact, Notre Dame Navy at FedEx Field. It was about, I think it was 31 degrees, but the wind chill was like 17, 16, and the wind was swirling in the stadium. Like, I had to take the kids in and get hot chocolate. I've never had hot chocolate at a game. I was like, where the nacho man at? No damn hot chocolate. Where the nacho man at? Ah, all right. Let's do this real quick. I wanted to do this early, so let's go ahead and run through this. We got to get through it because the last one of the regular season, probably the last one of the season. I probably do one at the end of the season. So we are here, and we have the final arrive five. It caused some controversy last week. So here we go. Number five.
Number five.
The Dallas Cowboys, NFC East champions, played a hell of a game down the stretch. I had to bump them down because it was a team that was a lot more powerful than them coming in at number four.
Number four.
First time on the list since we've been doing the Arrive Five. The AFC East champion, Buffalo Bills, ran off of what? A five-game win streak to end the season? They were 6-6.
Yep.
Five-game win streak and impressive wins all the way down the road. Buffalo, you got four more wins to go. Make it 10 in a row. You got four more wins to go. You win those four games, you make me look like a fucking genius. Number three.
Number three.
The NFC North champion, Detroit Lions. Lions, Lions, Lions. I think this team is going to make some noise. And when I say make noise, I don't mean banging on no trash cans. I'm talking about kicking the door, waving the fo-fo. All you heard was, please, Detroit, don't hit me no more. It's this coming.
This team had one of the best drafts. Even though everybody complained about their draft.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you jump up to go get Jahmyr Gibbs? Look at Gibbs' numbers. And we know who was telling you about Jahmyr Gibbs all preseason.
Yeah, you.
It was actually you,
but I'll take credit for that.
They went back and got Brian Branch. Kid the Commanders should have taken, another person they should have taken, since they do all this combo coverage, and you would have needed Forbes and Martin, but we're not going to go there. Kid played outstanding all season. Jack Campbell, middle linebacker, another dog. Sam LaPorta, tight end, another dog. Like, they just came out of this draft with players. And they've done that the last three years, actually. And that's how you build your foundation. And that's how this transition, you go from, it does, sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's gradual. But when it's gradual, if you make the picks, it becomes long lasting in the long run. And that's what you got in Detroit.
Number two. The NFC West champions. San Francisco 49ers. I'm about to say Detroit again. I can't put Detroit on there twice. The San Francisco 49ers finished strong. Even though they took an L last game of the season, meaningless game, didn't matter. The way this team rebounded from a three-game losing streak to come back and win every game beautifully, decisively, with no doubt, you got to be number two, because I can't put you number one, because number one is – the team that's up 295 a little ways, the Baltimore Ravens, the NFC North division champion, Baltimore Ravens. What can I say about them? This team invents ways to win. They roll. They got a running game. Now they got Dalvin Cook with them to go with Lamar and Gus Edwards and all those guys. When you put weapons around Lamar, look at what you get. Now, one thing I can say about this podcast right here called The Sideline Junkies, when we were sitting on draft night, we said, if Lamar Jackson does not go top 10, look out, lead. because he's going to fuck y'all up. We were big proponents of Lamar Jackson being drafted before draft night. When we talked about what we saw at the combine, who we thought was going to win, who we thought was going to, you know, have a great draft, we said whoever drafted Lamar Jackson was going to get themselves a quarterback. And we've been Lamar fans long before the draft started. And we still Lamar fans. So let's recount. Number five, the Dallas Cowboys. Number four, the Buffalo Bills. Number three, the Detroit Lions. Number two, the San Francisco 49ers. Number one, the Baltimore Ravens. I have to say, you have arrived. You know you have. You have arrived. Thomas found that funny. He says he's going home this weekend to Green Bay. Watch out for the upset. Cowboys fans crying early. Yeah. Xavier said we should make more screens for this Arrive 5. We should. We're working on it. It's a work in progress. Shut your mouth. Matt says, I can't argue with the 5. I feel good. I feel good all over. Here's a question. Well, not a question. We got to get to this because it's local. The Ron Rivera era is done. It's bittersweet for some. It's oh happy day for others.
Let me see. I think number one track is Oh Happy Day. Track two version. When my boy hits the high note. Number two for me, if we're doing a soundtrack or just a list of songs, Hit the Road, Jack. Number three, I'd feel ludicrous if I didn't say this, but Move. Not ludicrous. Just a couple of ditties that make me think about Ron Rivera over the last couple of days.
Real quick, Thomas says Ravens and Niners in the Super Bowl.
Rematch. Thomas, you got it. We will accept that submission now, but we also need your submission from at the beginning of the season so we can see if it changed. Because we're going to hold people on their business. We're going to hold you on your preseason prediction. But even though it changes now, I'll allow that to happen.
Ron's gone. They had a brain trust to help search for not only a G. Oh, let me rephrase that. Ron and Martin Mayhew are gone. So rest of the front office is still here.
Slow down. Ron's gone. They're still doing work, so Mayhew and Herney are still in the building until they figure out who the next person is.
Oh, I heard that Mayhew was gone.
Nah, he's still. So there was conflicting reports, and the last that I've heard is they're both Herney and Mayhew are still there because you got to still do some of the stuff. Like they made a transaction today where they signed somebody to a futures deal. They released Curtis Hodges, the tight end. So there's some other ancillary moves that have to happen just like in the year business. So that's the only reason they're really in the building. And that's why you haven't seen the title GM in the search title of what they're looking for going forward, because they technically still have a GM in place.
Well, they've asked permission to talk to a lot of people from a lot of different organizations. It seems like they've casted a really, really wide net, which is good. But of course, the main part has happened. Ron's no longer head coach of this team. I wish him nothing but the best. Happy trails to you until we meet again. But we have to get focused on what's next. Getting the scouts out of the combine, seeing who we're going to get. Getting a front office in place to hire a coach so we know what we're drafting and we're not drafting blind. Don't hire the coach the day before the draft.
Whoa. Mm-mm. When we pick this general manager will supply the philosophy that is the blueprint for this team. You're not doing this dilly-dally bullshit we've been doing the last 4 years. 1 year, you draft a corner, he's 6'3", 215. and then you come back 2 years later and you draft a corner that's 6'1", 145 pounds, wet with two bricks in his back pocket and cement boots. You can't do that. That's not a theme. That's not a consistent theme. You don't go out and draft a linebacker in the first round that should be a will, but you try to make him a middle, and then you don't draft any other linebackers subsequently to even help provide depth in that situation. And you depend on a guy like David Mayo and John Bostic, two horrible replacements, and who should never have been on this team to begin with. Three, when you pick receivers, you still have to have a type. I keep saying this. We need a type. So when this GM gets hired or when this president is picked, he sets the tone for what we are. I'm sorry.
I'm not mad at you. But that's what we got to do. So a couple
So like on draft day, if you like your receivers to be blonde head, well, I want at least two blonde head wide receivers we drafting. And if you want your quarterback with kinky hair, I need at least a quarterback drafted with kinky hair. You know what I'm saying? I need you to fit your types.
Okay. Matt says, Super Bowl I want is Detroit versus Cleveland. Super Bowl we are getting is Baltimore versus Dallas. Well, the last time we got a Baltimore versus Dallas Super Bowl came out pretty well for Baltimore. Super Bowl 5. Probably the most turnovers in the Super Bowl. Johnny Unitas knocked out of the game. But Baltimore pulled out.
Yo, get the real to real. We watching highlights.
Baltimore pulled it out on a Jim O'Brien field goal. Lassie made it happen. So Ron dealt with a lot. He did deal with a lot in 4 years, but it didn't translate. I mean, it didn't translate to win. So Thomas says, definitely what next for this GM? Definitely a GM first, yes. And he also says, yes, definitely need a vision of what the team should be. Hopefully a physical defense. The boss BJ says, where were you sitting at Super Bowl 5 KG?
He probably had, who was in that game? Johnny, you was playing, right? No, he was hurt.
And no, he started. He got knocked out in the second half. Earl Morrill finished.
He probably had Earl Morrill seats because they get two for family and friends. And he was sitting in the family and friends section.
I'm not even going to tell the story. I'm going to go ahead and leave it alone. I'm gonna leave it alone, but just know that a lot of people, a lot of Baltimore players felt very, very sad after that game. So, hold on, got a comment here. Yeah, ticket $7 lower bowl. It was actually 12, but okay, I'll let you have that one. And 50 cent hot dogs.
Yo, I'm glad you're not watching this Georgetown game because this
I'm sick right now.
This last possession was god-awful. They were down one, and I don't know what their guards are doing. Georgetown guards are going to make them an under 500 team. I'm just going to say it now. But go ahead. Let's continue on with this Ron Rivera thing.
Well, we're done with that. We're moving forward. We're not going to spend a whole bunch of time on it because it's not a whole bunch of developments. We just got a bunch of names right now. When something hits, we'll talk.
Well, hold on. We got to go back then because I need to at least get my guy. So there's Adam Peters, what everybody likes, and I'm cool with that. But my dark horse is Ian Cunningham, the guy. I've said this on our platform. It's just something about this guy, and it's something about the way that Josh Harris and his kid interacted during the there's like a management symposium for minority GMs, coaches, where they kind of get to have access to the owners. And one of the names that came out of this symposium was Ian Cunningham. And the person he was connected to the most was Josh Harris. So I could see some way, some shape or form, this guy possibly being part of the brain trust. The other thing I want to touch is I already know that like, If we lose in week one or week two, the first thing the low-hanging fruit fans are going to say is, Well, that's what you get for bringing Bob Myers in to help with the coaching search and the GM search. How you have a basketball guy help lead the search, which is stupid. It's the dumbest approach and the dumbest thought process ever, because you're picking leaders. You're picking guys that are in the top percent of what they do. So what you want somebody to do is be able to identify characteristics and traits. That's why Bob Myers is here. He's not here because he's going to help you pick a player. He's not here because he's going to do anything in the front office in terms of changing the name or anything like that. You know what he's going to do? He's going to tell you, he's going to identify traits and the answers that these guys give and tell you, this is somebody you build around. This is somebody that he has tools, but unfortunately, he needs somebody better around him for him to succeed. That's what you're getting from Bob Myers. And if you don't see it that way, I apologize for your short-sightedness. I apologize up front. Well, God gave us sarcasm, so sometimes we can speak to stupid people.
BJ still going on about he's still going on about Super Bowl V. He said Pop was a nickel. Thomas says Cleveland GM would be dope.
I'm not a big fan of his, but I got you.
He also says love the outside the box thinking.
And I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you, if both Spielman and Myers stay on in some capacity later on as part of the brain trust, whether it's titles higher up like a senior president of operations or something like that, because now Spielman would give Harris somebody with the day-to-day football instincts, and he can also help guide this young GM that you're bringing in that's going to be, you know, he's going to run things. But this gives him somebody to kick ideas off of. So I don't see why or where it would be a problem if Spielman stayed around in some capacity after this was over.
I say we go ahead and start. We interview Carmen Policy. What you say?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just throwing names out there, messing with you. I mean, the dude did engineer 5 Super Bowls, but hey, it's none of my business. Next up, national championship was last night. We all picked the Washington Huskies to win it all. We were wrong. The Michigan Wolverines beat the Washington Huskies 34-13. I said I made a bold prediction before the game started, and I said Penix would move up in draft stock. He showed a lot of heart, 27-51, 255, a touchdown and 2 picks. J.J. McCarthy, 10 of 18, 140. Johnson for Washington, 11 carries, 33 yards. Corum for Michigan, 21 carries, 134 and 2 touchdowns. Loveland for Michigan, 3 catches, 64 yards. And Odunze, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
5 catches, 87 yards for Washington. Midnight Rider, what did you think of this particular national championship? Jim Harbaugh wins the big one. He said, now I consider it an adult table.
What I considered was that Michigan showed you that the trenches matter. Washington is definitely a good ball club. Their offensive line is good, but the way the Michigan D tackles was what they were doing to some of them guards at Washington, it wasn't even right. Like, I hope some of their parents go to the local precinct, file charges, because it was abuse. It was bad. There's a kid for Michigan, number 78. I can't think of his name. I think it's Grant. But he's on a highlight during the season where he actually runs down the Penn State running back 15 to 20 yards down the field. And that impressed me. And last night, he and number 55, I think 55 is Graham. Both of those guys show that they're going to be problems, and they are problems. Michigan's offensive line, number 7, I think his name is Edwards. He had 2 40-yard touchdowns, and I was trying to figure out why Michigan didn't give him the ball again. He got his yards. We're going to see the Washington receivers get taken somewhere between 10 and 15 in the first round. I think that's probably going to be Odunze. And then the other ones will be taken somewhere between 25 and 32. But these are quality receivers. The only person that really disappointed me was J.J. McCaffrey or McCarty, whatever his name is. I thought this was a prime situation for him to make a name for himself or make something happen. And that those numbers just don't show me anything. He didn't impress me. He hadn't impressed me all year, but everybody gave me the story of, well, he's just working within the confines of the offense. So we'll see on that.
I'll say this. I had high hopes for Penix. I still think with this, he still has a Senior Bowl. I'm sure he'll be invited to the combine to throw. I still think his draft stock has a chance to rise. I think he was slated to go 10th. No higher than 10th. Yeah, I forget. Somebody put out something. They said Caleb Williams was 1. Drake May was 3. He was 10. It was like they had a list of quarterbacks.
Is this their draft board or is this – so what you got to be careful with is some people will put their board out, their top 100 board, and then you also have – team guys that are actually doing their picks.
Okay.
So just make sure you kind of, you know, decipher the two in that scenario. I still feel very comfortable saying I think when this process is over, Williams end up being the 4th quarterback taken.
Thomas says Michigan dominated. Not much to say now, just waiting for the inevitable. And that's Harbaugh to walk, I believe. But
no, he's talking about, if you notice the emoji, there was an emoji of a throw, something throwing up. And what the inevitable is, and I alluded to this before, is Jim Harbaugh's agent that he hired is the guy Yee. And he's connected to the Raiders. And that throw up symbol is Matt throwing up and crying tears of unhappiness and sorrow because Jim Harbaugh will be the next coach of the Raiders.
Yeah, that was Matt. I'm sorry. I'm reading too fast and trying to do too many things.
You didn't do anything wrong. I I've talked to Matt all week, and like I've had to like talk him off a limb. I felt like I was like hearing confession, or I was a counselor for someone with PTSD. So I was just trying to help him through because I also have some PTSD from the team that I love and follow. So, you know, we just had a counseling session, like two brothers just talking, airing our grievances.
Dig it.
Because we're close. I mean, we're just past Festivus. So we had us a belated Festivus where we aired some grievances.
I alluded to this. I didn't want to tell you, but I say we were going to get it. Eric Wheeler posted a question, but we put a pen in. Normally, it takes a little bit longer to get to the pen, but I was like, nope, we're going to get to this on Tuesday. He says no quarterback in his draft screamed elite to him, i.e. Manning, Burrow, you know, the elite quarterbacks that come in successful right away. Do any quarterbacks in this upcoming draft scream elite?
That's a great question. Yes, I think the elite persons, to me, the elite person is Daniels and Penix. I think the only thing that's going to keep Penix from being in the top tier is his medicals.
Yes.
I think Drake May will be in that next. So for me, it's the guy that I think, and I'm not saying I think Jaden Daniels can't miss, but I think Jaden Daniels is going to get a lot of people to fall in love with him when we go through this process. He's a Brian Kelly quarterback. He's done things in the offense where he's been on the center. He's played some shotgun. So I think his experience will help mold him into a better day one quarterback than everybody else. And I think that's where I'm going to. So Pete Medhurst, if you listen, I'm on board. You've been convinced me. You and Joe Miller, that helped convince me to make Jaden Daniels my number one in terms of draft prospects. Number two is going to be May, but that's going to be pending what we see through the combine and everything. Three is Penix, and then four is Caleb. And it's only because Caleb's 6'1". He doesn't throw on time. I think the Bears should draft a quarterback one. Well, worst case scenario, yeah, I think they should just draft a quarterback one, because you got Fields either going in the year four, I think, or year five. So now you're talking about money that you got to commit to your quarterback position. And if you're not ready to do that, which I don't think they are, you take the two for one. You grab the quarterback, you try to grab a top-tier receiver. Even if you're drafting at 10, you get a kid like Malik Nabers, you get Romeo Odunze from Washington, you got you another receiver to go along with. Now you put a guy like Mooney into his natural position, which is the third wide receiver. But let me get out of that minutia and all that stuff. But I think Daniels is the elite guy in this group.
Matt says, no, that's why the Bears should keep Fields, trade the number one, and reap the rewards.
I hear you, because in their worst case scenario, and this is one scenario I thought about for the Bears, is if you keep him, still remember, you got to pay him in the next year or two. That's the only thing that keeps me from saying for sure that I would keep Fields. But if you trade out of one, so say you trade with New England, who's at four or three, or somebody comes up from lower and they give you a group of picks, you possibly could draft a kid from Notre Dame, Joe Alt. You draft Olu Funchai, I know I'm saying his name wrong. The kid from Penn State, you grab one of the tackles. Now you got your bookend tackles. You got the kid from Tennessee that you drafted last year at right tackle. And you got Olu or Joe Alt at left tackle. So now you set a left tackle for the next 10 years, as long as these guys can play. I understand the theory, understand the process, but I think I go quarterback if I'm the Bears.
Okay. All right. We had that time. We're pushing up against it. I wanted to get to some other things, but we'll get to one topic we'll get to on Thursday is Katie and Phoenix situation. Talk some NBA on Thursday. Also, I want to go over some things because I sent you and BJ something on Messenger, and I just wanted you guys to look at that before I shared it with the masses. It's these draft boards that people are putting together, and they're giving Washington like 25, 30 picks in one draft.
Oh God, don't do this to me.
No, because I need to know, and I just sent another one to the group chat. Like, we got to go over this, and we got to
talk. No, we don't.
No, listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because I think this is asinine and absurd. Oh, I traded back three times. You don't know what you're getting. It's great to put in a draft board. If you kind of do a mock draft and say, okay, these are the scenarios right here with what we have. All of that trading back, and I got this many picks. You don't know if nobody. This is not Madden. If this is Madden, the way I do Madden, I have 10 to 15 picks a year because I'm always drafting in later rounds. I trade the first round pick, get three picks in the later round. You don't do that in real life. That's video game shit. Not going to get into it. Put a pin in it. We'll get to it on Thursday.
No. That's because we can. This is my. This one, because I've said this before. I tell anybody right now, if you post a mock draft and you have over 10 picks that you've taken, I will comment, this is ludicrous. This is stupid. Like, I'm just going to, this isn't real. Or I'll put, there's a Kevin Costner picture. I will find any picture of Kevin Costner from the movie Draft Day, and I will post it in your comments, because that's what you're doing. You can't. You know why you can't trade back this many times? It's because in the world we live in, we're so revisionist. Think about if you trade back twice. Like this one dude I saw, he traded back three times, so he had three picks in the second round. So do you, can you imagine if any of those four quarterbacks or five quarterbacks that are taking the first round hit? You know what kind of backlash he's getting as a GM? Does he keep his job? Like, let's like, I know I've done some mocks for entertainment purposes, but now it's like, yo, let's do a mock and let's be genuine. Like, I have, like, me, my guy TJ, Terrence Johnson, this in the Commander Center group, like, he and I will make rules. Like, you can only trade back once. Like, you get one trade back per draft. Or you can make two trades per draft, something like that, because it makes it more realistic. These guys out here, I traded the first, I mean, the second pick overall for somebody's 11th and 17th, and then I traded the 11th for the 45th, the 108th, the 224th. No, that's not real drafting. You're getting killed. You're gonna get killed in your building if you do something like that. So that's why I have an issue with it.
I do too. That's why I wanted to bring it up. So we'll talk about that more on Thursday. Matt says,
so hold. Let's do this. A, I did send guys a playoff bracket. If you want to do that,
I didn't get that. I need that.
It should be, what's the password? I think it's Junkies. I can't remember what I did as the password. I'll try to send you the invite again. I thought I sent everybody that was in the original one an invite. But I'll try to copy the link. Matt, I know you're in. If you have a chance and you saw the link or you still had an email that I sent you, can you forward it on or pass it on to guys? I'd appreciate it. Or post it in the group. So I got a playoff bracket for one. And with something else we did. Something else you just said. I'm going to chalk that up to the game. Never mind.
All right. I'm writing down what we got to do on Thursday. Matt says, worst part of when Raiders get Harbaugh, guess which quarterback we get at 13? McCarthy. Gross.
No, I think that becomes – so that's where I'll endorse a trade back. I think you go back to 18 or 20 because I think you can get them there. But you don't trade back too far. So if you're at 13 – maybe you trade back to 16 because the board will tell you who else is drafting the quarterback. And I think most of the teams that are quarterback heavy are going to be in that top 10. So that's why I think a lot of the quarterbacks have been gone early. So your New England's, your Washington's, whether it's Chicago maybe the Raiders, they go in the top 10 or they fall back some. But those are some of your teams that are going to be right there looking for quarterbacks.
All right, we got to run up out of here. Coming up close on it. Great show. Once again, happy birthday, Dario. Happy birthday, Bria. We're going to be doing this all week. So you're going to see birthdays popping up all week long. So
all month long.
Oh, shit, all month long. Yeah, you're right, because we got a lot to go through. Mm-hmm. So ladies and gentlemen.
What some of y'all parents did on St. Patrick's Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's the Midnight Rider right there. I'm the big guy, KG. You know how we do it, baby. I won't say we won't do no overtime, but either way, we out of here.
Peace.